Good evening, everyone. It's not going to be mostly a sermon. It's going to be a testimony of what God has been teaching me these last couple months. And as you see up here, we have scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, glory to God alone. And as we're celebrating the Reformation this year, it's actually not an accident that the Museum of the Bible is going to be opening up in Washington, D.C. It's going to be the biggest museum probably in the whole world, but I know in the United States. It's no accident that we're going to have the Bible truck. The Bible truck is riding around the United States, and it's no accident that they allowed us the Bible truck at the Arts Festival. And it's no accident that our church can host the Bible truck. Personally, it's not an accident that God gave me a privilege to be part of the Gideons. If you don't know, it's an organization that spreads out Bibles. And what I've been learning these last couple months with the Gideons is it's been taking and renewing my mind towards the power of Scripture. The power of God's Word, the power of the Gospel. And what I'm learning is that God will not share His glory with anybody else. And we think we might share the gospel to somebody. But really, if we think we're doing the saving, it's not going to get far. Only God saves, and He will not give His glory to anybody. Another basis for the Gideons, which they stand on, is Colossians 4:2-6. And this is what I've been learning. Let's open Colossians 4:2-6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. Declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward the outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Not only that, the Gideons shared a wonderful book with me. It's called Share Jesus Without Fear. It is a powerful book that as I'm reading it, there's just things that have been straight to me. So I will read a few passages from the book that I found very important in my life. Do you know that at least that as few as 5 to 10% of people in the average church have shared their faith in the past year? That means 90% of us have chosen the sin of silence. And later in the book, another important thing I also read, that a survey that from the Institute of America Church Growth showed that 75 to 90% of new believers come to Christ through a friend or acquaintance who explains the good news on a one-to-one basis. Only 17% of all conversions come through church services or events like the Billy Graham Crusade. Yet most churches devote the majority of their time and energy and their money to these kinds of events. Can you imagine a businessman investing the majority of his resources and opportunities he knew would produce the least profits? Of course not. So the best way to preach the gospel is to your friends and your family and those around us. That is the most effective way. Another one that I found really important later on in the book. This was really hard because I fear rejection. I don't know, many of you might have the same problem, but rejection, telling somebody and they reject you. But what the Gideons have been teaching is the fact that they don't reject me, they reject Jesus Christ. Another quote from the book: when people reject your message, it is not you they reject. They are rejecting Jesus and God's word. Therefore, you don't fail in your obedience. Even if the way you share the message is tactless or unloving, God can use it. What he can't use is your sin of silence. So as just these couple times that I was there learning these things and seeing the power of God, and later in the book realizing that the person who wrote the book said sometimes he just uses the word of God to let people read it. And the Bible changes them just through the word of God. He comes to them, he shares the gospel, and he says, here, read it. And the person reads it out loud. He says some people reject it, but he keeps asking them and praying. And said, while they are reading it, he's praying that God would open the door. And sometimes they reject it. They say that, what does this mean? And he says, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. And as the person is reading, he's praying. And the person's heart breaks. That was also a very, very just a surprising thing for me. I thought, wow, God, you can really do a work. I don't have to do anything. It's your job to save people, not mine. And if I get rejected, it's not me. It's you that is being rejected. So they gave us the Gideon Bible. They gave us just the opportunity to pray. And they said that, pray right now that God would give you opportunity to share this book. So I got home and I decided to try God out. I said, Holy Spirit, if you're the one that's actually going to be saving people, you'll send me there. So my role was just to share the gospel and is to pray that God would send me the people. So the next day, I decided to put the Gideon Bible in my pocket. Went out to work. We were just unloading the truck and doing a whole bunch of things. And all of a sudden, I was talking on the phone, and I see a mechanic who was sharing our building, and the Holy Spirit said, him. And I'm like, not him. He's busy. Can't be him. And I'm parking the truck, and I'm like, could it be really him? He's just in his shop being busy. I said, you know what? I'm going to try it out. I'm just going to try it out. So I went up to the mechanic. I came up to him, started talking. I don't know what to say. I just kind of started talking about my car, and all of a sudden, I just said, do you believe in God? And he said, well, kind of. I don't go to church. And I used the technique. I said, look, I have a Gideon Bible. And in the front, it shows what you might be struggling with. And I just show him. And he's just looking through it, and he sees anxiety. And he's like, oh, I have anxiety problems. And I said, really? I'm like, you want to see what God's word says about it? And he said, yes. So we both opened to Matthew chapter 6. And I tell him to read it. Chapter 6, verse 25, do not be anxious. And I'm standing there just to observe, because all I did was give him the Bible and told him to read it. And this mechanic who's busy has the little Gideon Bible in his hand. He starts reading. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And he stopped and he started I just saw the Spirit of God working in his mind. And I was so surprised. And he continued reading it. He didn't even stop. He said, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap
nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little of faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For Gentiles seek after all these things, and yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today its own trouble. And as he read these words, he was completely surprised. And I was surprised too. I was standing looking at him and he was looking at me. And I said, in the end of the book, you can see how you can have a relationship with God. And I know you're busy. Can you go home and read these words? He said, I will. And he put the Bible in his pocket. And not only that, the Word of God is powerful. So as he was reading the Word of God, later I only found out that not only were those words to him, they were also to me. For 2 months, me and my wife have been praying that God would give us opportunity to go to our 10-year anniversary somewhere just to make it special. And we would pray, God, we always do it every, but we want 10 years to be a wonderful celebration with a limited budget. Can you help us out? And this was Wednesday as this gentleman was reading these words. And Thursday, we were supposed to go somewhere on a getaway, but we couldn't find a place to go. So these words were actually to me because I was so anxious of what to do. I was praying. I was looking online to see if there's any last-minute deals or something. I'm like, God, we prayed. Why aren't you providing us a place to go? Nothing works. There's bad weather here, bad weather there. So the next day, I'll get back to that story, but the next day, it's Thursday, and still, we were supposed to leave, and we still haven't gone anywhere. And me and my wife are so busy trying to find a place to go, we're forgetting that we have our 10-year anniversary. And I told her, I don't think it has to be this way. So I decided to test the Bible for myself. I opened the Gideon Bible, and I look under guidance. I needed guidance. So I opened the Gideon Bible to guidance, and it takes me to Psalms 37, verse 4. And the words hit me. It said, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait. I said, Dash, forget about it. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to enjoy Thursday. I'm just going to continue doing what I normally do on Thursday. We had a community business prayer group that I wasn't going to attend because we were going to go to a vacation, so we thought. So I said, I'm going to go off to the business prayer and just forget about it. We're just going to enjoy this evening, go out somewhere and have a good time. And she said, okay, if God wants us to go somewhere, we will. So I go to the business prayer. I tell them that this is what I'm going through, and just everybody prayed for me. It was a wonderful just time we had with the business owners of State College. And we decided, afterwards, I was going home, but before I left, one of the business owners ran up to me and said, you don't have to look anymore. Here's a vacation for a week for free. So that's how I was blown away by this miracle. He said, and we checked the schedule, and he said you could leave tomorrow. That house is available for you. So while that man was reading those words, be anxious of nothing, I thought those words were to him, but actually they were also to me too. If I would have accepted those words,
at the same time, God said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's Thursday, I know, don't worry. So this book, the Bible, is powerful. Scripture alone. It's never a bad time to share. Even a couple days ago, before we went to the canoe trip, I was going to the gym. I had the Gideon Bible in my pocket, and I was going to a gym. I walked out, and I had the Gideon Bible in my pocket, so I decided to put it back in the car because I said, what are the chances that God can use this book in the gym? Especially, it's a high pace, you can't really talk much. But then the Holy Spirit just try me. So I decided to try it. I put it in, and after a hard workout, I walk outside to get some air. I sit down and I see what seems to be a homeless person. And the Holy Spirit said, that's the person. And I had the Bible there. So I sat next to the person. We had a wonderful conversation for an hour and a half, and they accepted the Gideon Bible and were excited to read it. So I just want to encourage everyone that these couple months, God's been teaching me that the Scripture is powerful. It's not about us, it's about God. And He will not share His glory with me, with you, with anybody. Because the Word of God and God saves the people. And some sobering words from the book that I read. Watch out for signs of a dying Christian life. Ask yourself, am I sharing my faith? Do I have Christian friends? Do I hang around with the dead or the diseased or the lost? If you and the members of your church have forsaken your duty to reach back into the world, I can promise you your church will start to divide, to backbite, and fight over non-essential Christian issues like song selection and carpet colors. You will become a church. You will become keepers of a Christian aquarium instead of fishers of men. Your church will be on the way of spiritual death. In fact, I can promise to any church or any believer without fear of being in error that if you choose not to evangelize individually or collectively as a church, your church and your Christian life will fossilize. So this is not only to our church, it's to individually to each one of us. If we don't share the gospel with the people around us, we will fossilize. So as we end in prayer, and while I, just a moment of silence, that I want everyone to pray that and ask God that He would give us the burden daily for the lost. Yesterday, I was talking to Tim and a couple days back with Alex about the fact that when we do pray, and I know that each one of you had times when you prayed, God always sent those people. And yesterday, we talked about that. And it's true, but we keep forgetting that. That's why it's a reminder to me, and I want to remind you all and encourage you to start praying daily for the lost. Pray for an open door, an opportunity to share. Pray for boldness. Pray that God would put His words in our mouth. Pray that God can help you get out of your comfort zone. May the Lord help us step out in faith. Let's pray.